this is a going that occurs every 500 years? Yes. This coming Sunday is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, when Martin Luther posted 95 statements about what is wrong with the teaching of the church at that time. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this October the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2017. And so most of our week is going to be talking about Reformation thoughts. And as is our custom, the first day of the week, Monday, we look at the readings. And there are readings from Psalm 46, Revelation 14, Romans 3, and then two options, John 8 or Matthew 11. Today we're going to be taking a look at Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. Every now and then there are certain passages of the Bible that really capsulize for us the meaning of Lutheran theology, and specifically of the Reformation. Romans 3, 19 to 28 is the reading from the epistle for this coming Sunday. And so let's kind of take a look at it. It starts right off with a statement that no other religion in the world agrees with. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Why do I say that as a statement that every other religion in the world disagrees with? Because every other religion in the world is a law religion. Just think of any other religion outside of Christianity, and the first thing you will find is a bunch of rules that you have to follow in order to be saved. Whereas in Christianity, there are a bunch of rules, but they're given to show you that you cannot be saved by obedience to them, because it is impossible for an unbeliever to obey any of them. This is really important. And that's why at the time of the Reformation, as still today, Roman Catholic theology tends to say that we're saved by faith plus works, whereas Lutheran theology says, no, we're saved by faith apart from works. And that actually is a quote from verse 28 of chapter 3 of Romans, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So, just think about a family situation. When I was growing up, we had certain rules. What time dinner was, how long you could watch TV, what chores around the house you had to do. All of those were not given in order to show you that you were incapable of doing any of them. They were given because my parents thought I was capable of doing them, and that was part of the responsibility of being a member of the family. How different in Christianity. Because what we're talking about is, how do you become a member of the family of God? And God says very clearly, it's not by obedience. If it were by obedience, then the death of Christ was just a waste of time. And we need to understand that the death of Christ was not a waste of time. But just simply proclaiming the death of Christ, or even his resurrection, is not sufficient. That does not create saving faith. What? No. The historical facts of the Bible are simply insufficient to bring someone to faith. Because saving faith, its object, is not the historical facts of the Bible. Remember, even the Pharisees believed Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. No, saving faith is believing the promises that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He rose from the dead for my justification. That is totally different. And so until somebody hears the gospel, people are really going to be kept in the dark as to how God has decided to save them. Now, just in case you still didn't get verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped, what does that mean? Take a look at the members of every other religion in the world. Their mouth is not stopped. They boast about fulfilling God's law. Like in Judaism, thank God I'm not like that tax collector because I tithe, I fast. That's called boasting. God wants to stop your mouth from taking glory for yourself. Remember, two kinds of theologians, what I like to call the theologian of self-glory and the theologian of the cross. The theologian of self-glory, upon which every other religion in the world is built, believes that I'm getting to heaven because I'm pretty glorious, and I think God should appreciate what I'm doing for him. Whereas the theologian of the cross recognizes is that apart from the cross of Christ, I have no chance at all of being saved. And I'm held accountable to God when I boast about my works, because my works are never perfect. Verse 20 really backs that up. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Wow. So the first question a lot of people are going to ask, well, why do you Christians have the law if nobody can be justified in God's sight by the law? What's the purpose of God giving his law? Verse 20, and we're talking here in regard to being justified. So we're talking about unbelievers. Why is the law given? It says right at the end of verse 20, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The only people who don't believe that are those who have corrupted the law. For example, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is excellent. Thou shalt not murder. Well, we've never murdered anybody. Oh, really? According to God, have you ever had an unjust thought about someone? Have you ever said a bad word against someone? Guess what? You've broken the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. Because you have taken upon yourself to be God. You have made a judgment. That's why by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Justified. Remember, there's a huge distinction between justification and sanctification. Justification is that process by which you become a member of the family of God. And nobody becomes a member of the family of God by obedience to the law. Sanctification is our response to realizing that we have become a member of the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we do good works. So we are not against good works. We're only against good works as the basis or the cause for our becoming saved. Now, sanctification, that operates. And in fact, God takes a look at your good works on Judgment Day. Remember Matthew 25, sheep and the goats, in order to find evidence that you truly are saved. Because look at all the fruit of the Holy Spirit you're doing that only believers can do because they're motivated by love for Jesus Christ. So, it's very clear from the Bible that nobody is going to get to heaven unless God considers them to be righteous in his sight. So, how are you righteous in God's sight if you cannot obey the works of the law perfectly? Well, that's verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested, that's just another word for revealed, apart from the law. although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. You got the word law here twice in the same verse. And this is very important to understand that many times, not only do words in the Bible have a different meaning, but depending on their context, the same word can mean something entirely different. So let's take a look at that. The righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. There, the word law is referring to our obedience to it. Those who live under the law are those who think that they can be saved by obedience to the law. So that word law is referring to the assumption of the theologian of self-glory, I can get right with God by obeying his law. Instead, as it goes on, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Well, what's the word law they're referring to? How many times when you go to a worship service, there are readings, and they say the readings are from the gospel and the epistles. See, that's a division that we have made of the New Testament. The four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the epistles, the various letters of the apostles, such as Paul and Peter and John, etc. In the Old Testament, the way the books were divided, there were two ways, law and prophets, law referring to the first five books of Moses, and the prophets the rest, or law, prophets, and writings. Sometimes you see that. So those are just, shall we say, a division of how you understood the Old Testament. And here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. The righteousness that God demands came about apart from your obedience to the law, namely your attempt to obey it. However, the law and the prophets, in other words, the books of the Old Testament, bear witness to it. And what do they bear witness to? Verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. I mean, you can't get a better example than Abraham. God gives Abraham a promise. And remember, the object of saving faith is always a promise. What happens? Well, Abraham, I know that you and Sarah are pretty old, but you're going to have a baby, and he is going to be, through his seed, the Messiah will come, who will save the whole world. Well, who believes that? But Abraham did. Abraham believed it, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. You can't get a better verse showing that we are righteous in God's sight, not by our obedience to the law, but by our promise belief through faith in what God has told us. That's really a great example. And people are going to say, well, it goes against common sense that as old as they were, they were going to have a baby. So why did Abraham believe that? Because the Holy Spirit gave him faith. Faith is not possible apart from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to us and increases our faith or even initiates it through hearing the Word of God. And why is faith important, not obedience? It goes on, verse 22 and 23, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Notice it doesn't say, and all the unbelievers have sinned. No. Even believers continue to sin and fall short of the glory of God. How many times do we begin a worship service, I, a poor, miserable sinner, deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment? And the I is referring to a believer in Christ. It's kind of like children. How many times do we want to obey our parents and are unable to do so? Parents just recognize that that's part of being a child. disobedience. Why? Because we're born with an attitude of rebellion. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Neither God nor my parents. So it is impossible ever to be saved by obedience to the law. Instead, how are we justified? Verse 23 and 24. After all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that's the law. Now we move to the gospel, verse 24, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Boy, you could spend six sermons just on that statement. Notice that grace is not a power source that I get in order to obey the law in order to be perfect. No, it is his grace as a gift. And what is that grace? It's God's attitude towards you. He is gracious towards you. You want him to be just? If you want God to be just towards you, guess what? You're going to get what you deserve. Eternal condemnation. But grace is giving you what you do not deserve. Eternal salvation. Because of the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness. And how did that come about? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Very important word, redemption. We use it quite differently in our world. For example, I remember when gas stations, the more gas you bought, the more stamps you would get. And if you filled a book of stamps, you could get a gift. I was working towards filling, I think it was 100 books, because I could get a television. You know how long it takes to fill 100 books of stamps? And then you redeem them for the television. That's not how the word redemption refers to here. Redemption is a term used in the days of Jesus to refer to the buying back out of slavery. You were in slavery. In fact, that's what John 8, the gospel, talks about. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And then verse 36 of the gospel, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Being a slave to sin doesn't stop because you stop from sinning. No, it stops because you are no longer held accountable for your sin. That's what forgiveness is. So, we're justified by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, going on with verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. Now, you're going to have to explain that to your children. In fact, maybe you'll even have to explain that to yourself. Sometimes the word propitiation is used, sometimes expiation. What does that mean? It means that somebody else takes upon himself the punishment you deserved. He suffers in your place. And remember, Jesus is your substitute. God the Father put him forward as a substitute by his blood. Namely, by shedding blood, he therefore took upon himself the punishment you and I deserved. And we receive that redemption by faith. That's what verse 25 says. So, how is God still righteous? Well, the verse goes on. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. What does that remind you of? Pass over. Yes, the Old Testament. Remember, the angel of death passed over not every house, but only the house upon which on the doorway was sprinkled the blood of the Lamb. That was indicating true faith on the part who did that, and the angel of death passed over. Where there was no blood, then the oldest male, animal or human, died in that house. So God passed over former sins because of what Jesus Christ had done. Verse 26 kind of capsulizes what we're doing here. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You see, when every other religion in the world talks about God being just, it means you get what you deserve. It's kind of a legal term. But it's not that God was not just in forgiving your sins, because he gave a substitute to fulfill the word, in the day that you sin, death will be the result. It's just not your eternal death, but the death of Jesus Christ. My God, why have you forsaken me? I've forsaken you, my son, because you're carrying upon you the sins of Tom Baker and every other person in the world. That's the righteousness of God. It was to show his righteousness so that he might be just and then be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So Paul comes right around again back to what he had said at the beginning, that every mouth may be stopped, in verse 27. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Okay, here's another use of the word law. I think the word law has about 12 different meanings in the Bible. It can refer to, first of all, the moral law, the ceremonial law, the civil law. It can refer to the first use of the law, the second or third use of the law. It can refer to laws of nature, the sun comes up in the morning, all kinds of things. But it also can just refer to a principle. So when Paul asks the question, what becomes of our boasting, it is excluded by what kind of law, by what principle? By a law of works, namely that he who does the works is going to be saved, which every religion in the world outside of Christianity teaches? No. But by the law or the principle of faith. What's the law of faith? It is summarized in verse 28, which just so happens to be the last verse in this passage. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. I know Luther was criticized at the time in his translation when he would often talk about we're saved by faith alone. And people would say, well, the word alone isn't in there. Well, what else does it mean? We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. That's just another way of saying we're justified by faith alone. The reason this is so hard to accept is because there's nothing in our world of reality that is comparable to that. Where do you have your faith alone changes your status? It's my birthday and I haven't received my check from my mother. So I phone her and say, hi, Mom, it's my birthday. We didn't get the check yet. And she says, oh, I think I sent it to the other address. So I believe her, but I still don't have the check. So I send my wife over to the other address and she phones. She said, yep. Now we've got the check. Do I have the check? No. So she then takes it to the bank. Well, do I have the check? No, the bank has it. But then she takes out the money on the basis of the check, brings it home, and gives it to me. Finally, I can say I received money from my mother for my birthday. You see, this is really important to understand. That believing she sent the check, believing my wife had it, believing it was in the bank, still didn't mean I had the money. No. Faith in Christianity does mean you have the item God has given you. That's why it's so difficult to try and explain this to someone who's an unbeliever. Because no amount of faith ever changes your status in the world, but it sure does in the church. Simply by trusting that Jesus Christ indeed became our Redeemer, took upon himself the punishment of our sins. Guess what? You are declared righteous just like Abraham was. That's what the Reformation is all about. It's all about Jesus. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel with Mark Smith, well, it's Reformation on Sunday. So you would think we'd be doing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We've only done that about a dozen times. And it's not that it's not important, but it just so happens there's a second hymn that is another option. It's Salvation Unto Us Has Come. And that's what Pastor Mark Smith and I will be looking at tomorrow. I'm Tom Baker. I want to thank you so much for listening and pray that you have a real good understanding of law and gospel. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.